My name is Rashida Gale, and one truth about the hustle never stops. You're always grinding and you're always growing.
This is the Girl Behind the Hustle podcast, and I'm Lucretia L.C. Thomas. Each week, I'm chatting with some incredible women across all industries and backgrounds who've agreed to tell the truth about what it really means to hustle. It's time for us to be honest, to let other women know that they aren't alone, to share our mountains and our valleys, to practice self-care, and celebrate our wins together. It's time to hear the truth from the women behind the hustle. This is the Girl Behind the Hustle, and I'm your host, Lucretia L.C. Thomas. Hey, girlfriends, welcome to season 3 of the Girl Behind the Hustle podcast. I am so excited to chat with you guys today and for you to hear this episode. Can I be honest? I couldn't make a decision. My indecision got the best of me. So you guys are getting 2 episodes for the first episode. That's just what it is. I couldn't decide. Just when you chat with so many incredible women who are just open and honest with sharing their journey and their story, it's hard. So the first episode, well, one of the first episodes is my chat with Rashida Gale. You guys, this woman is so amazing. And you know what? Her episode really made me realize, I don't know what I was doing in my 20s, but this woman is absolutely killing the game, okay? If you are not familiar with Rashida Gale, let me introduce you to her. At only 27 years old, Rashida made history as the first and only Black woman to represent both NFL and MLS athletes, securing over $5 million in marketing deals. Listen, she is the plug, okay? Her roster includes several high-profile players, including Atlanta Falcons veteran Devontae Freeman, San Francisco 49ers rookie Deebo Samuel, Baltimore Ravens rookie running back Justice Hill, and Atlanta United forward Joseph Martinez. I'm so excited for you guys to listen to this conversation as we discuss how she continues to break barriers and build opportunities for those coming behind her. Rashida, thanks so much for being on the show today. Welcome to the Girl Behind the Hustle podcast. How are you?
Hi, LC. I'm doing well. Again, thank you so much for having me on your podcast.
Thank you. So I'm excited for the listeners to find a little bit about who you are and what you do. So tell us just a little bit about your hustle.
So I am a sports marketing agent, and pretty much what that entails is representing professional athletes off the field or off the court in their respective brand or marketing scope. I negotiate endorsement deals, appearances. I assist with philanthropy, creating charities, just really creating a brand for athletes in the space that we are living in today. Social media and content creation is so big and so dependent on, and you see all types of athletes, basketball, football, international, soccer, etc., really taking ownership of their brand. And so we come in and we help assist building that brand into something bigger and monetizing it.
Love it. So, you know, in short, you're the dot connector. You're the plug between the players and the companies. Like, players need you to advocate and pitch them to brands. How do you even get to a place where they're like, okay, sign me up. I trust you to advocate for me.
Well, first thing with what you said, I'm the plug. So I literally feel like I'm the plug. That is
my
name.
Absolutely.
I am plugging people in. So recruiting, right? It's really, really hard. And there's no easy way to convince an athlete that you should represent them for marketing. It is a very, very difficult space to be in, industry to be in. I cannot say that enough. And I don't want to sugarcoat it to anyone listening like, oh, it's super easy. You just get to know athletes and you get to represent them. It is more no's than it is yes. And I do my best to put myself in rooms and give myself the opportunity to at least present to a player and showcase what we can do for that player during their professional career. But it's not easy. And I think most of the times people think they see the glamour of it and they don't really know the heartbreaks behind the scenes. But for the most part, just getting a guy to trust you really has so many factors that can just be the vibe in the room, or the fact that they think I'm a big sister, or what my record, my resume says, my work speaks for itself. There are many different factors that are at play, and sometimes those factors aren't good enough, like I said. It could be any influencing person in that athlete's life that says, hey, no, we're just going to go in another direction. And the athlete listens and moves in another direction for whatever reason. So, really, you just want to try to get to the table and at least present, at least give yourself a shot at presenting and showcasing to the athlete what you can do on the marketing side. But it's definitely difficult. And I would never say it's easy. It's probably the hardest thing I've ever done is recruiting.
Yeah, and your background, you're from Jamaica, your family's from Jamaica. How do you feel like your culture has impacted your hustle?
So, shout out to immigrants all over the world for people who just have to get up and adjust to a new life, a new culture, a new situation. I love being in the States. I mean, being a citizen of the US has really allowed me to reach and dream of things I could never. Not that Jamaica doesn't have the same resources, but there's some obviously super valuable resources here in the US. So, specifically with what I want to do and working with American football players. So I think we just come with a grind, right? You don't know if you belong until you show that you belong when you're an immigrant. And so coming to the States when I was 7, it was really important that I made myself belong, and not in a way where I was judged or I wanted people to necessarily like choose to take me who I as who I am, but more so like you want to showcase that you belong here as well and you belong in these rooms. And it's just something that has been ingrained in me, how I grew up. My mom, she is very what's the word? She is very smart, very educated, and a go-getter, a true hustler in the word. And so I've gotten a lot of that from her. And so that, along with being an immigrant and just feeling like initially you don't belong and doing everything you can in your power to feel like you deserve to be in the room, a combination of those two things, I think, has really helped with my success in sports.
And I think definitely you have made your mark in every room that you've been in. When you're in those rooms, there are not a lot of people that look like you in the industry. You're one of the youngest and the first to make history as the first and only Black woman in sports to independently represent MLS and the NFL athletes. Does that ever feel heavy? Do you ever feel like you have to move a certain way?
It doesn't feel heavy, but I absolutely have to move a certain way. So just to like keep it real on this podcast,
Please do.
it is a shame that there are not as many Black faces in the sports industry. Sports, the players in this industry, majority of them are Black, especially in the NBA, in the NFL. MLB has a lot of Hispanics. Even tennis and golf, not so much, but there's some sports that just dominate with Black faces. And it's really a shame that you walk into rooms with executives or people who work behind the scenes in the offices and you don't see as many Black faces. It's a shame. It's not discouraging. If anything, it inspires me to continue to be great and provide ways to get younger people of color in these rooms. I think the best way to do that is to be an example to my peers and my colleagues and my executives. But it really is a shame. And so I am not slighted in any way when I walk into a room and I'm the only Black girl. I'm cool with it. Like, that's not something that's going to hinder my confidence. And I think that's why I've been pretty good in this industry. But I keep going back to saying how terrible it is and it needs to change. It's unacceptable. And there's many politics to it as to why Black men or women or people of color are not getting hired in these spaces. We could get into a whole other conversation about that. But for me, I just do the best I can in those rooms to be a representation of women, specifically of color, who can bring valuable assets to the table.
And have you created any opportunities to kind of try to change that, maybe through mentoring or outreach or anything like that? Or any, are there any organizations that you're a part of or anything that you've created?
So two things, or a couple of things I would say I have done. This year, I really wanted to take time out to give back. I saw all the wonderful things I was doing. I was like, this is so cool, everything that I'm doing, but what is it doing for younger people? How are people being inspired by what I'm doing? And so the first thing I wanted to do was create my own internship. My job, or the company that I work for, GSC Worldwide, they have an internship that is awesome. And it's in New York, at the offices, and you get to go in every day and interact with the agents and everyone that works in the office. But I work remotely in Atlanta, and I had the opportunity to bring in my own interns. And so I got to choose, I got to scout, and no shade to my company, but it's all about who you know, right? So
yeah,
we get plenty of applications. Everyone wants to work in sports. There's so many people that want to work or intern with our company. And so it's really all about who you know. And I think our executives do the best job they can at selecting candidates who they think would be the best fit. But sometimes there is that influence of, okay, I know this person, I know that person, so I'll give them a shot. I wanted to approach it more so, I don't know anybody that is going to apply. I did recommend some people that I knew to apply, but I was going to judge everyone equally. And honestly, there were so many good applicants that I had to do a project after that initial interview in order to select and finalize who the interns were going to be. So I wanted to just provide an opportunity where anybody, Black, white, yellow, orange, man, woman, had the opportunity to apply and feel like they were being judged on an equal level as anyone else applying for the internship. So that's one thing that I've done. I've been really happy with my interns. Right now, I have two young ladies that are working with me. They're doing a fantastic job. And then the second thing that I decided to do was create an organization. I co-founded a women's organization called Bloom with a very close friend of mine who does corporate counsel at a company called Reef Technologies. I believe that's where she's at now. And basically, Bloom provides a space for professional women to bloom, to grow. So that's why we decided to call it Bloom, is a flower blooming. We promote wellness, we promote personal development, and just service among professional women. We kind of just want to embrace their power, embrace their purpose and value, and living a life that they love while still being able to contribute positively to the work environment and ultimately to their self.
Gosh, I love both of those. Those are both just amazing opportunities.
Thank you.
And I know now your roster includes, you know, several high profile players. Who are you representing now?
So currently I represent about 6 or 7 NFL players and 1 MLS player. I just signed my first MLS player this year. His name is Joseph Martinez. He's a forward for the Atlanta United and the most decorated MLS player in history. He's a 2018 MLS MVP. He actually had a crazy streak. I think it stopped at 15 only because he was injured having a goal every game. He is a brilliant player, but he's an even better person off the field. He's so sweet, so nice. He gives back to the community. He's so humble, but he's very confident, very swaggy. So it's been a pleasure working with him. And then on the NFL side, I represent guys from Devontae Freeman, who's a running back with the Atlanta Falcons, Justice Hill, a running back with the Baltimore Ravens, Debo Samuel, a wide receiver with the 49ers, Miles Boykin, another Baltimore Ravens player. He's a wide receiver. I could just like go on and on with my list. So those are just some of the few guys I represent. It's been a pleasure working with all the guys that I work with. And I really try to tailor my roster to match that energy and passion that I have for marketing. I want my players to have that kind of same energy and passion because then it's easier to work with them. So I'm not a big fan of having 20 guys on my roster. I much prefer like a solid 5 that are super good and just love to do marketing.
Yeah, because I think about that, you know, if you start growing your roster too big, it's like, how do you manage all of them, especially if they're in different cities and states. Every time I see you, it's like I want a plane going here and here. Like, how do you even manage if it, you know, becomes too large?
And that's a great point. I am already on a plane so much, and I acquired four players this year, and it's been an adjustment to say the least, trying to figure out what trips are worthwhile and what trips are not worthwhile. And I mean that in the sweetest way, in terms of I want to get valuable time with my player. So I don't want to show up to a
Absolutely.
game with my player for my player where I don't even get to see them. Then it's a waste of a trip. I would much prefer to see them on a Tuesday or a Monday or Tuesday on their off days and go out to eat and really get some quality time with them. I'm obviously all for supporting my players. I don't have to see them every time I go visit their respective city. But it's been an adjustment, and I just have to choose wisely what trips are worth it and what trips aren't.
And so you signed four players this year. Tell us about, let's go back. When you're at this moment now where we're signing four players, what was that moment like to sign your first player? Like, what was that moment? How did you celebrate? And do you recall like that feeling and just even the nerves of getting to that place?
So, I've represented players in the past, but this last year I really put my head in recruiting and I went all in. Like, I gave it my all. And so the first player we signed at the beginning of the year, unfortunately, I was so caught up in signing players that I didn't even get to really enjoy it as much as I should have. Like, I was so excited and I was so happy, but then I was like, okay, what else are we doing? Like, we still got more work to do, is how I felt. Now I can like look back and I'm really, really proud of myself. If I didn't do it that way, I wouldn't be where I'm at right now. So, always it's so important to celebrate your accomplishments, but sometimes you're just in the moment and you can't feel the effects of it because you just don't know what the effects of it are. You just know that you've been busting your ass and you damn right I signed somebody because I put the work in.
Absolutely.
So I think I took it more so like that. And then as I started to continue to sign players throughout the year, I really saw the effect of that grind and hustle in 2018, like paying off in 2019.
And you're constantly traveling on the road. What does rest and self-care look like for you? Like, how do you take a break from the hustle?
That's a great question. So I've started meditating a lot. I should probably meditate more, but I did like a 90-day meditation challenge where I was just doing like 10 to 30 minutes every night, just depended on the day and how I felt. One thing I love, love, love to do is travel. That is my getaway. I don't really get to get away fully, but I do my best. I actually just got back from a trip to Europe. I went to Paris, Barcelona, and Madrid with my family.
Oh, amazing.
So that was really fun. I mean, that's where I spend my money. I went to Africa this year, my first time in Kenya, and I went to Zanzibar. Last year, I went to Cabo and the DR. Like, that's just my thing. I like to, the minute I have a break, I'm going to be on a flight and be overseas. So that's kind of how I get away from the hustle. But just like day-to-day things, it's really hard in my industry because it's 24/7. It's just literally whenever the phone rings, you pick it up. You don't ignore the call. But what I've started to do, I think the last 2 years, I use that bedtime app. And so like when 10:30 hits, I'm asleep. And then when 6 a.m. hits, I'm up. So if somebody call me between those hours, my phone is on do not disturb and I
Good for
am knocked out.
you.
Yeah, I've decided to take that seriously.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to have those boundaries, you
You
know?
do. And it works. I think it really works. I've let go trying to please all my callers between 11 p.m. and 6 a.m. Like, if you calling me between those times, you just gotta wait. And it just helps me get rest, make sure I'm well rested. In the mornings, I try to work out and then I'm up early and at it. So I'm getting back to whoever has been calling me. But one thing I've realized in my industry, or I think just in general, is things can wait. Like, as much stress you put on yourself, no one's gonna die if it takes an hour or 2 hours or a business day. Like, do yourself a favor and don't stress yourself out. So that has really helped.
Yeah, that's definitely a lesson I had to learn this year too. Like, everything is not an emergency. It's just
Yeah.
not.
Yeah. And if someone's calling me five times, I'm not picking up. Okay.
You know,
At
if they
that
call me
point,
5 times, you might need to call somebody else. Like, if it's that big of an emergency, like, did you call the cops? Like, did you call, like, you
seriously,
need an ambulance? Like,
and
how can
you
I
don't
help you?
respect the fact that I got stuff to do. So if I don't answer the first and second call, I am busy or I am doing
Right.
something. So don't call me a third time. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So behind your hustle, who's lifting you up? Who, you know, what keeps you going? Do you have like a solid girlfriend circle, solid family support? Like, what keeps you encouraged? Who's lifting you up behind the scenes?
So I'm blessed to have a great foundation when it comes to just the relationships I have with my family. My mom and dad are super involved as parents can be when you're grown, I guess. I have a sister who's quite a bit older than me. She's about 17 years my senior, I think. Or no, my junior, sorry. So she's been amazing. Her husband has been amazing in the growth and support of me as a sports marketing agent or agent in general. I don't know what I would do without them. So that has really helped push me and keep me motivated. My boyfriend, obviously, as well, has been so helpful. So I would say I have a group of friends as well. They're all really elevated in their professional careers. Most of them are lawyers, and this is a group that I have the Bloom Foundation with as well. So I have a good group circle around me that keeps me motivated and just listens to me and hears me out. And I think we do that for each other in this society where Black women are really taking control of professional spaces and elevating their positions. It's so necessary to have that support.
Yeah, absolutely. And looking back at where you are right now, is there anything you would have done differently if you knew what you know now?
The only thing I would probably do differently is I would have a different major. So my major was political science and women's studies. I think I would have majored in something more productive. And I only say that I wasn't able to major in sports management because I was over the credit hours I needed to stay in state. I would have been out of state. And when I first got to college, my first major was biology. Then I picked up women's studies. Then I switched biology and went to political science. I had already completed like half my biology credits. So I didn't have an option to go to sports management. So I think initially coming into school, it would have either been like business or finance or sports management. If I could change that, I definitely would.
And what do you want us to know about the woman behind the hustle? What don't we see behind it all?
The grind. No one sees the grind. I mean, it's hard for me to show the grind on my social media or capture it. Like, no one sees the strategy. No one sees the thoughts, the hours that you put into it. No one wants to watch a damn video of someone for 12 hours in one day trying to see what did they put in it to today. No one has the time. They want that quick answer of how did you make it? What did you do? They don't want to do the research. They don't want to put the time in. And that is really what gets you to where you're at. Your heart has to be broken for you to grow, for you to challenge yourself, for you to get better at what you do. You're not always going to get yeses. Most of the time you're going to get no's, and you should probably get no's most of the time so that you can grow. It's all about elevating yourself and growing and embracing those challenges so that you can get ahead of yourself. So I think, what people fail to see behind someone like me or anyone that inspires them or any professional person is how much work, time, and effort you have to put in to get to where you're at.
That's so true, especially about the no's. Like, nobody wants to hear no, but you have to hear no. Like,
Yeah.
it helps you choose. It helps you when you are doing too much. Sometimes those no's help you, and it just kind of helps you become more specific in what you truly want. Those no's are just great redirections.
Absolutely. And a lot of people don't respect someone until they see the result of it. And that's just a shame because you shouldn't see the fact that I'm the first Black woman to represent MLS and NFL players to give me the time of day or to hear my story. And I think we should be more empathetic when considering who we should network with and if this person is relevant or not. Everyone's grinding, everyone's hustling, and before you know it, they're going to be that person you're looking up to, you know, that has that kept the grind going and kept the hustle going. So I think respect everyone's story, respect everyone's path, even if they're not at where they want to be as yet.
Yes, I love that. And so now it's time for the real deal moment, where we just take a deeper look at the woman behind the hustle. What's your go-to song to listen to kick off your morning or before going into a meeting?
So I don't usually listen to music before meetings. We usually we're looking at an overview or informational sheet before we get into a meeting. But if I was to select two songs that I think would get me hype and ready, Reflex by St. John. I don't know if a lot of people listen to St. John, but his vocals are amazing. And he's my new favorite artist.
Oh, and I have to look him up.
He is really good. His song by Reflex just gets me in a mood. It's a vibe. And I would say Mob Ties by Drake, because I'm sick of these niggas. So, so yeah, that makes me feel like I'm about to kill this shit.
And what is a quote, a verse, or a mantra that keeps you encouraged?
One thing I like to go by is there's a verse in the Bible that says, "What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul?" I work in an industry that is very glittery, and you can compromise a lot of who you are, and I really never want to get to that place. So I like to keep that quote close to my heart and, you know, use it to guide me in situations where I feel like this is, you know, a situation I could compromise myself. I want to stay focused and be true to who I am.
And what's a tool or app or something that helps manage your life or work that you can live without?
An app. The Notes app or Evernote. I use both. Cannot live without it. I repeat, I cannot live without my Notes app. I need to be able to write ideas down, write to-dos down. If I'm not writing it down, I'm forgetting about it. So that helps keep me super organized. It's always good to just reference any idea that comes in my head or anything that I need to do. I just put it in my Notes app. And usually throughout the week, I go through my notes and clean it up to make sure I'm on top of everything.
And what book does every girl behind the hustle need to read?
Well, for my girls listening to this podcast, you can't go into 2020 not reading Michelle Obama Becoming. Yes, it's just absolutely unacceptable. So that's the book everyone needs to pick up. It's super relatable. It's crazy because Michelle Obama is much older than a lot of us, but you can just feel so much of you in her when she writes and how it comes across in the book. It's a beautifully written book. Some will call it a hard read, but I really enjoyed it. It did take me a while, probably a week to complete the book, which is not that long.
A week? That's a while.
It's not usually, but you know, when you're super, super into a book, it can take you 2 days to finish it. Yeah, you cannot finish Becoming
when
in
2 days.
You
can't put it down. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't finish Becoming in 2 days.
Mm-mm. You got to take it in and digest it and Michelle.
Yeah. No, yeah. Seriously. Mm-hmm. But I think that would be the book. That's the book of the year for any Black woman.
And what do you want people to say about you when you aren't in the room?
I want people to say that I'm a grinder, that I work hard, that I'm a good person, I'm kind, I'm innovative, and I'm good as fuck at what I do.
Fill in the blank. My name is, and one truth about the hustle is.
My name is Rashida Gale, and one truth about the hustle never stops. You're always grinding and you're always growing.
So true. Absolutely true. Well, thank you so much, Rashida, for taking time out of your hustle to share your story with us. Please tell the listeners how they can connect with you.
So I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter. Don't use my Twitter as much. Both handles are at Rashida Gale. You'll probably get better traction contacting me on LinkedIn. Who doesn't use LinkedIn as a professional these days? Rashida Gale, same thing. So I make it pretty simplistic across the board in terms of my handles, but those three platforms, you could connect with me, you could see what I'm doing, and just how I'm impacting the industry.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate you. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much for listening today. Please rate, subscribe, and share the podcast. I would love to hear from you. You can connect with Girl Behind the Hustle on Instagram or Facebook at Girl Behind the Hustle, or by email at heygirl@girlbehindthehustle.com. You can connect with the community on our website at girlbehindthehustle.com. Until next week, hustle and grace.